All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter number 20 this morning. This is the 4th of July weekend, the day we celebrate becoming a free, sovereign nation. And Psalm 20 is a wonderful portion of God's Word for us to consider. July the 4th, 1776, a declaration of independence from Great Britain and a declaration of dependence on Almighty God. America. America enjoys great blessing. We are still the freest nation on this planet. Historically, had the number one economy and military. And we are the greatest exporter of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. Unfortunately, we are also number one in other areas. We are number one in homosexuality, divorce, abortion, and the destruction of family values. America. Friend, I want to tell you, America did not just happen. America is the gift of Almighty God. The founding documents and declarations of these United States make our spiritual heritage and history undeniable. Now, we're not a Christian nation. But my friend, I want to tell you that no other nation in history had a Christian beginning like America had. But the American dream is becoming a nightmare. Listen, I think we should celebrate victories when God gives them to us. Soviet communism, gone. The Iron Curtain, gone. Roe versus Wade, gone. Listen, we are foolish if we don't thank and praise God for that. But we've also seen the rise of communism in China, the opening of our southern border, and the legalization of homosexuality. Now, friend, these are not political issues. These are biblical issues. And if you don't believe that, then you've been duped by the devil. Now, have you noticed that this nation's leaders are trying to divide our country today? I've not seen us this divided in my lifetime. Everything by race, face, place, and grace. But as a Christian in this country, it should not be about race. It should be about righteousness. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. It should not be about race. It should not be about riches. You know, which party is going to help me out the most materially? No. Again, it should be about righteousness. For riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 4 says, if you're saved, your primary allegiance in this world must be to Jesus Christ. Christian, you are not a Democrat and you are not a Republican. You ought to be Biblocrats and you ought to be Biblicans. My friend, we are Bible believers. This is our allegiance. This is our authority. And if you cannot say that with conviction, then you need to re-examine the priorities in your life. Now, I think most people, and most of God's people, are starting to realize that our current government is not our friend. Democrats and Republicans alike. They serve other masters besides that of the citizens of our country. Now, they typically earn $175,000 a year. And though most do not go in that way, they all come out multi-millionaires. Now, I can't tell you all the hows and the whys of that, but in plain terms, my friend, there is a lot of crookedness going on. An older couple had a son who was still living with them, and the parents were getting a little bit worried because the son had no idea about his future career and employment. So they decided to do a little test to help him out. So they wrote him a note and they left the note on the coffee table. And along with the note, they placed a $20 bill, a copy of the Word of God, and a bottle of alcohol. And they went and hid, pretending themselves to not be at home. And the father told the wife, he said, "Honey, if our son comes in and he takes that $20 bill, he's going to be a businessman. If he grabs the Bible, he's going to be a pastor. But if he takes the bottle of alcohol, honey, our son's going to be a no good drunkard." And so the parents hid themselves, waiting for the son to come home, watching nervously through the peephole of the closet. They see the son come in the door. He works his way to the table as he normally does. He sees the note there that is addressed to him, and he begins to read it. And as they watched, he put the note down. He then grabbed that $20. He held it up to the light, and then he put that $20 in his pocket. He then grabbed his Bible. He flipped through it, closed it, and then put the Bible under his arm. And then finally, he grabbed a bottle of alcohol, and he headed upstairs with all three items, the money, the Bible, and the liquor. And the husband slapped himself on the head, and the wife said, "Honey, what does that mean? What's wrong? What's our son going to be?" He said, "Oh dear, it's way worse than I thought. Our son's going to be a politician." Listen, the nation of Israel had no such man leading them. King David was a man that loved God. In fact, the Bible says this, he was a man after God's own heart. Boy, Brother Danny, I'd love to be able to pray for a president who was like that. Now, we've not had that in over a generation. We're not going to stand today for the reading of the Scripture for time's sake. We'll cover the verses as we go along. The title of the message today is this, A National Anthem for Christians. And that's exactly what Psalm 20 is. A national anthem for Christians. Now, Israel had a man of God ruling over them, King David, and there was blessing. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Inflation. Look at the price of the things that you're buying and paying for today. Look at the price of gas. There's a lot of agony in America today. What's going on? The wicked are bearing rule. A national anthem for Christians. Now, a trip to the dictionary will tell us that a national anthem is a generally patriotic musical composition that tells of the traditions and the struggles of its people and is recognized by the government as the official national song by use of the people. Now, America's national anthem is the Star Spangled Banner. And what a beautiful anthem it is. I know they're trying to destroy that today, like they tried to destroy everything that made America what it is. Listen, I think Israel had an anthem of its own. One that dates all the way back to King David and is found right here in Psalm 20. This psalm was designed to be used by the people of Israel. And listen, it can be adapted universally for all those that claim faith in Jesus Christ. A national anthem for Christians of sorts. So Psalm 20, what is it? Well, in Psalm 20, we find a prayer. It is a prayer for the king as he heads off into battle. Now, there's two major points I want us to see today. Number one, we're going to see how to pray for a godly leader. And number two, we're going to see how to pray to the good Lord. Well, let's go ahead and start by seeing how to pray for a godly leader. Look at verses 1 through 4. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to all thine heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. How to pray for a godly leader. Now, in this psalm, the people look to the king. And as they look to the king, David, the king, begins to look to the King of Kings. David penned this passage, yet in it the people are praying for David. Now, you know what that tells me? That tells me that those who desire prayers of others, that they need to let those folks know what they should be praying about. I can't tell you how many times somebody comes up to me and they say, "Brother Joe, can you pray for me?" And I say, "Sure, what's going on?" "Well, just pray for me." Now, I understand sometimes things are secret and they don't need to be revealed. It's a private matter. But friend, if I'm going to go ask somebody to pray for me, why in the world would I not want that person to be praying with knowledge? So oftentimes, I fear pride keeps our requests all bottled up. You know, God forbid anyone thinks we might have real problems and troubles. Even leaders like David must not despise the prayers of other people for themselves. Church, can I tell you? My family desires for you to be praying for us. We need it. The attacks are relentless. The time constraints, the pressures, the demands, the temptations. Now, I've been around some pastors and some church leaders, Brother Carlos, and they never ask for prayer. Obviously, these men are much greater than the Apostle Paul, who often begged for his people to pray for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 11, Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, said this. He said, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit," watch this, "that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Paul said, strive with me. How? In your prayers to God for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. "Brethren, pray for us." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Those in power ought to esteem, they ought to encourage praying people. My friend, I encourage you to pray for me, to pray for my family. How to pray for a godly leader. Well, what did these people pray for? In verse number 1, we see that they prayed for the safeguarding of the superior. Look at verse 1. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." The safeguarding of the superior. Now, here in context, the nation is praying for David. And they are invoking the protection of Almighty God over their king. But David is also the author of this psalm, meaning that David prayed these same words for himself also. Yes, David was skillful. David was a successful man. But David also needed to be spiritual. The context here is a time of war. And friend, can I tell you, there are no atheists down in the foxhole. When real war is looming, people become religious. And they are invoking prayer to God for their king, David. Now, can I tell you, the world is in upheaval. This today is a time of national crisis. Are you in touch with God? Are you praying for this nation? Are you praying for the leaders of this country? You say, "Preacher, you don't understand where I'm at. I'm not right with God. I'm not living as I should have and as I should be. Friend, that may be true. But I want you to look with me at the great encouragement that we find here. Look at the end of verse number 1. It says, "The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Do you see that? Now, do you know who that is? The God of Jacob is the God that is full of compassion and He is full of care. Jacob was an old crooked, crafty cowman, and he would not hesitate to lie or cheat if it served his purpose. He's like a car salesman. Yet Almighty God sought this man right where he was, and He wrestled with him. God met Jacob. God mastered Jacob. God molded Jacob. God magnified Jacob. Then God multiplied Jacob. Church, that's mercy. That's the God of Jacob. Now, I'm sorry to hear that you haven't been living as you ought to. But the God of Jacob is the God that loves us despite our faults and failings. So confess your sin. Turn from it. And then pray, God will have mercy on you. Be open with God. God, I'm weak. God, I'm wayward. But God, this nation needs you. Meet me right where I am. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. It was a prayer for the safeguarding of the superior. Now, if the crown on his head and the grace in his heart could not exempt David from times of trouble, my dear friend, don't you dare think that you're somehow going to avoid trouble. You say, preacher, I'm not in any trouble. Well, praise God, enjoy the ride, because trouble's coming around the corner. I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, but my friend, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Even though David was a businessman, even though David was a man of war, even though David was a man of prayer, even though David had prophets and the priests and the whole nation praying for him, he did not think that excused him from prayer personally. Listen, the prayers of others for us must not supersede, substitute, or supplement our prayers for ourselves. I don't mind praying for you, but don't go around asking me to pray for you and Brother Danny to pray for you and Brother Caleb to pray for you, and then you ain't praying to God yourself about that situation. In the day of trouble, don't run from God. In the day of trouble, run to God. And thank God we can cry out in trouble and have the promise of not only hearing at the throne of grace, but have the promise of defense from the throne of grace. Because when we pray in the name of Jesus, my friend, help is on the way. And if they really wanted prayers answered, then the presidents of the United States, listen, they need to call specifically on the name of Jesus Christ. Instead of giving lip service to a generic God so as to not offend the Jewish people, the Muslims, or the atheists in this country. The name of Jesus Christ is the name of the true and the living God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come. And He has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, the words "defend thee" in verse number 1, "the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee." Those words mean to set out of reach of the enemy. Even though David had mighty men of valor available at his side, both he and the nation submit safety into the hand and care of God. You know, many petition the government. Others go to their friends, but I want to tell you, church, the best source of help you will ever find is God. Call on Jesus Christ, especially when things go south in your life. He is a very present help, the Bible says, in time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse number 1. And experience shows that God shines. He shines the brightest when trouble comes, while other sources of help, when the trouble comes, those other sources of help seem to fade away. Oh, I believe our Heavenly Father offers both physical and spiritual protection to those that are His. Church, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Well, what do they pray for? How do you pray for a godly leader? Well, number one, you pray for the safeguarding of the superior. And verse number two, they prayed for the strength from the sanctuary. Look at verse two. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now, where does the help of the king come from? Does it come from his cabinet? Does it come from his advisors? Does it come from his czars? Well, the verse is very clear. The help of the king comes from the church. Are you surprised? But friend, we need a spiritual man in the White House for this principle to prosper in America. So pray for the salvation of our elected leaders. That is a prayer in the will of God. That is an effective prayer. That is a prayer that God will hear. That is a prayer that needs to be made. And listen, if the president seems helpless, let your prayers send help from the sanctuary. If the president seems weak to you, let your prayers send strength from the sanctuary. Better to grapple in prayer than to gripe in protest. Now, who is our sanctuary? Well, friend, for the last 2,000 years, the sanctuary for the children of God is none other than the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. The men of this world, they go to the government for help, but we go to the sanctuary because that's where the people of God are. They are in Christ. They are in the sanctuary. They are making intercession for others. Have you been doing that? Have you been doing that for the leaders in your life? Children, have you been doing that for mom and dad? Church, are you doing that for your Sunday school teacher? Are you doing that for the pastor? Are you doing that for your employer? Are you doing that for the leaders of this country? Are you sending strength from the sanctuary? You say, preacher, I got nothing to do in this church. You can send strength from the sanctuary. Send the help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. That's something every one of us can do. So what did they pray for? Well, in verse 1, they prayed for the safeguarding of the superior. In verse 2, they prayed for strength from the sanctuary. In verse 3, they prayed for success from the sacrifices. Look at verse number 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. Now, offerings include anything that was given as an expression of thanksgiving, with the exception of blood sacrifices. Burnt sacrifices included the blood sacrifices. So, offerings, everything but the blood sacrifices. Burnt sacrifices include the blood sacrifices. And as an obedient believer, David offered both in his life. He offered burnt sacrifices and offerings. See, before David marched off to war to meet his day of trouble, David's trust was revealed when he stopped in the sanctuary and he spent time with God worshiping. God's word was the roadmap, and David, the king, followed it. How foolish. How very unwise to think that we can march off into spiritual warfare while disregarding the Word of God and forsaking and neglecting the house of God. Friend, you need strength from the sanctuary. You need strength from the Scriptures. Some of you got some big decisions before you in your life. Some of you are considering college. Some are considering marriage. Some are considering the career that God would have you. What does God want me to do in this life? Some are dealing with cancer and health problems. As you face those choices, as you face those decisions, remember this book, obey it, and trust it. Success from the sacrifices. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. See, these offerings, these sacrifices of David, do you know what they were? They were an acknowledgement of sin. David was seeking God's pardon. He was seeking God's favor. Now, today, we don't approach God like that. Today, we approach God by the one offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So before rushing into your trouble, my friend, it would be wise for you to take some time and to meditate on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what did these people pray for? Well, they prayed for the safeguarding of the superior, strength from the sanctuary, success from the sacrifices, and number four, they prayed for the surety of the soul. Look at verse 4. This is the nation praying for David. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Now we're talking about how to pray for a godly leader. Can I tell you? Yeah, I would not recommend making this request for our president. but Israel could freely pray verse number 4 because David was a man after God's own heart. Therefore, desiring those things that are pleasing to the Father, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Can I tell you that God will grant you the desires of your heart when your heart is set in submission to God's will, which is found in God's Word. Psalm 37 and verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. My friend, that's a promise of God. I love that promise. Delight thyself also in the Lord, He will give thee the desires of thy heart. But if you resist God's Word, yet you say you have the peace of God, you've been deceived. God's peace is always associated with love of God's Word and obedience to God's Word. So David did those things that pleased God, and God granted David according to his own heart, for he did delight himself in God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you want God to do your will? You say, yeah, preacher, that'd be great. Well, let me let you in on the secret. Are you listening? Friend, God will do your will when you make your will His will. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 145 and verse 19. God will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. So plain, so very simple. 1 John 5 verse 14. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Church, if His will is our will, and then we ask God, God, give me the desires of my heart. God will answer your prayer. Isn't that a blessed thing? But I tell you the truth, many are too terrified to simply take God up on that. They will not fully relinquish themselves to the will of God. They want to keep some part for themselves. They want to hold on in some form to their life, their plans, their course, what they do. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give thee the desires of thine heart. A national anthem for Christians. Well, in the first four verses, we see how to pray for a godly leader. And in the remaining verses, we see how to pray to the good Lord. Now, in verse number 5, David begins to direct his prayers, and he directs the prayers of the nation to direct their prayers toward the great Jehovah God. So how should we pray to the good Lord? Number one, we should be thankful. Look at verse number 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. How do we pray to the good Lord? Number one, be thankful. Be thankful for what? First of all, be thankful for salvation. Notice, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Are you saved? Friend, thank God if you're saved. There's hardly a time that I pray that I don't rejoice in the great salvation of God. There's hardly a time that I preach that I don't rejoice in the great salvation of God. There's salvation in Jesus, and we should rejoice in God's power and God's promise to save. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Thank God for salvation. Secondly, thank God for answered prayer. Look at it. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Look at that last phrase. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. God is a prayer hearing. God is a prayer answering God. Thank God that He hears your prayers. You have the ear of the ultimate power in the universe. Thank God that He hears your prayers. Thank God that He answers your prayers. Glory! God answers the prayers of Joe Perini. Has God answered your prayer? My friend, if you can't get excited, that leads me to believe God's never answered a prayer of yours. If you're saved, He's answered a prayer. If He's never answered anything else, then stay joyful in your salvation. Does God hear prayer? Yes! Be thankful. Does God answer prayer? Yes! Be thankful. Rejoice and take up a song of thanks. Thirdly, be thankful in the banners. Look at verse number 5 again. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. Flags and pennants. They let people know whose side we're on. We're on God's side. I read the end of the book. We win in the end. Hoist the colors up in your life. Pray over meals while you're in public. Listen to Christian radio while you're in the car. Pass out tracts while you're in the grocery store. Go to church. Put Scripture there in your property. Let the Scripture be in the home. Let the whole world know I am a Christian. Faith determines our conduct. If we really believe something, it will affect how I act. It will affect my conduct. David was triumphal, and he lifted up the banner of God. You remember there, he came up, and when he came up to the camp there, he saw this giant of a man, Goliath, just punking the Israelite army. And they were all hiding in their tents. David came out and he thumped Goliath. And what's the Bible say he did? He flew the banner of the God of Israel. How do we pray to the good Lord? Number one, be thankful. Number two, be truthful. Look at verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. David had learned by experience the power of the right hand of God to deliver him. You know what he's saying? God has been faithful to the promise He's made to me. Friend, have you learned yet that God is faithful to the promises He has made to you? Has God ever left you? Has God ever taken salvation from you? Does God forgive your sin when you ask Him to? Does God restore fellowship when you come back like a dog to the vomit with the same sin again and again and again? Does God forgive the sin when you come back to Him? Does God show mercy and grant grace to you? Have you ever had to beg for bread? Be truthful in prayer to the strength of the promises of God that you have found sure in your life. David possessed confidence about something he had previously lacked. God made the promise, but then David said, "Now I know that the Lord saveth His anointed." How do we pray to God? Well, we need to be thankful. Number two, we need to be truthful. Number three, we need to be trusting. Look at verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Here's the war verse. It's a time of war. And war is terrible. It's a scourge of civilization. Yet it is also inevitable, and God has certainly used war to whip rebellious nations. You know why I say war is inevitable? I'm not speaking about the past. I'm speaking about what's coming. Friend, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven. He's going to come. My friend, He's going to plant His feet there on the Mount of Olives. The Antichrist is going to bring all the armies and the armaments of the world together to fight the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to let them all come in and show their strength. He's going to let them all come in and show their might. And with the word of His mouth, Jesus Christ is going to destroy the Antichrist and all the armaments of the militaries of this world combined. And sometimes, for the sake of his own survival, nations have to fight. Now, David was no warmonger king. But when he was attacked, David did fight. Now, in his day, the most dreaded weapon was the war chariot. It was a chariot that was armed with scathes that came out of the wheels and they spun as the chariot went. And it just mowed down armies of men like grass. But Israel did not rely on the army. Israel relied on the Almighty. Would to God in America, our first line of defense would be faith in Jesus Christ. Armed faith over armed forces. Better for America and the world if spiritual giants were leading this country instead of politicians and scientists and military chiefs of staff. How do we pray to the good Lord? We have to be thankful. We have to be truthful. We have to be trusting. David said, some trust in chariots. But David said, I'll trust in the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. My friend, you can slay your enemies with trust in the Lord. The arm of flesh again will fail. Samson was a literal one-man army with the jawbone of that donkey slaying the Philistines by the thousand. Hezekiah was a defeated king. Sennacherib had come in. He had Jerusalem surrounded. He had it besieged. What happened? Hezekiah went into the house of God. He took old Sennacherib's nasty letter. He laid it before God in the house of God and he prayed. And that night, an angel of the Lord went out into the battle camp and he slew 185,000 of the Assyrians, and the battle was won. The people of God were victorious and not a single shot was fired. How did the walls of Jericho come down? Not by military might, but by mighty miracle. Moses was standing between a rock and a watery place. And the chariots of Pharaoh were charging in. And Moses stood there. He saw him coming. He saw the water. And by faith, he lifted the staff of God. And when he lifted the staff of God, the waters of that Red Sea parted. Israel marched through on dry ground. And when Pharaoh tried to follow them in his chosen chariot, the armies of Egypt met with a liquid tomb. What's the point? Church, rehearse in prayer the deliverances that God has wrought for you. Rehearse them in prayer and then express the trust that you've gained in God through the miraculous workings of God on your behalf. That's how you pray to the good Lord. You got to be thankful. You got to be truthful. You got to be trusting. And number four, you got to be triumphant. Look at verses 8 and 9. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Be triumphant. Church, will God continue to defend the nation that has given him the boot at the schoolhouse, at the courthouse, and in the public sector of life? Will God let our economy totally collapse? I don't know. But I do know this. Homosexuality is legal in this country. Babies can still be murdered in many states in this country. And we are treating Israel as an enemy. What are we going to do? What's God going to do? I don't know, but I do know that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations, that includes America, and all the nations that forget God. I do know this. Righteousness, that which is right, by whose standards? America's? The European Union? Your standard? The Democrat standard? The Republican standard? By God's standard. By the book. Righteousness exalteth the nation. We find that which is right in the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, Jesus said. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. That's generally been our history. I pray, I hope it continues to be so. Look at verse 9. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Save, Lord. Those two words say it all, don't they? Help, God! Save! Save, Lord. Isn't that the general cry of every petition that we make when it's broken down to its core? Help! God! Save! The psalm closes with David, the king, now calling on the King of Kings. Now calling on the Lord of Lords. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Psalm 20 teaches that we as a nation and individually should never look for success unless our undertaking has been preceded in prayer. I know there are those times When decisions have to be made, they got to be made now. But my friend, generally, we have to wait on God. Pray, be patient, wait on the Lord. Let your undertaking be preceded by prayer. Then what's our most earnest prayers have been offered? Brother Carlos, our hope does not rest in those prayers. Our hope rests in Jesus Christ who answers those prayers. It's a national anthem for Christians. It shows a practical, a personal, and a perfect trust in the Lord. America has presidents. And presidents can be voted in and they can be voted out. But my friend, we also have a king. And he cannot be voted in nor voted out. And we can stiffen up our neck and we can point our puny finger in the face of God and shake it. And we can deny Him and we can turn our back on Him if we're foolish enough to do so. Prayer is out and policemen are in. The Bible is out. Values clarification is in. Creation is out. Evolution is in. Corporal punishment is out. Disrespect and rebellion is in. Traditional values are out. And unwed motherhood is in. Abstinence is out. Condoms and abortion are in. Learning is out. Social engineering is in. The Ten Commandments of God are out. And rape, armed robberies, murder, bombs, and mass killings are in. Today we can tell people to go to hell, but we ought to be telling them to go to heaven. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And it's our job to show the way. This psalm begins and it ends with a plea to the God of heaven to hear when we call. Church, that's a good place for our invitation this morning. Would you please stand? Sister Tasha, if you'll go to the piano. How many this morning? How many of you would be willing to join in prayer down at this altar asking the God of heaven to hear us when we call? How many would be willing? Friend, this country needs the prayers of Christians. Do you believe that? You can give some right now. We can give some, or we can just continue to sit and watch all of our liberties, all of our freedoms just reside and go away and fade over the horizon. Or we can begin to pray and to pray for God to send a revival. You say, preacher, it's too late for America. It may be. But if it's too late for America, if it's too late for revival in America, how about revival in the Southeast? If it's too late for the Southeast, if we can't have revival in the Southeast, let's have revival in Florida. Amen. If we can't have revival in Florida, let's have revival in Wakulla County. Amen. And if we can't have revival in Wakulla County, let's have revival at Central Baptist Church. Amen. And if we can't have revival at Central Baptist Church, let's have revival in our homes. And if we can't have revival in our home, have revival yourself. Would you be willing to join here at the altar? Have revival. You say, we can't have it for America. You can have it for yourself. You say, I'm only one. I am. But I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I do, I ought to do, and by the grace of God, I will do. As long as there's a God in heaven, there is reason for hope. God, let it start with me. Sister Tasha, if you'll start on the piano. We're going to have a time of prayer for this nation. We saw how to pray for a godly leader. And we saw how to pray to the good Lord. America needs the prayers of the people of God. America needs strength sent from the sanctuary. And with the help of God, we want to do that right now. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll pray together.